I love a good sing-along. Yeah. I think we found out which one was the favorite, though. Country Road. Right, Justin? West Virginia over there. Well, we actually want to thank the Simmons family for that. Yes, come on. That was so good. So good. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Joel. If we haven't met before, I'm the teaching pastor here at Love Chapel Hill, and so glad you're here. I am also still so pumped from last weekend where we celebrated Resurrection Sunday and all the great things that the Lord did. If you weren't here on Saturday when we had this place maxed out, basically of capacity, just wanted to share with you, praise God for, we had almost 150 people fill this space from our community. Yeah. And 90-some% had never been here before. And we're so thankful for what the Lord did and the way we were able to love and connect with people during that and see that Sunday morning filled the next day. It was beautiful, beautiful. Just wanted to share that with you all. Man, we are stepping back into this next week after Easter and just love to. And we got some really cool stories, some sing-alongs, it seems like, along the way. But love to. Let's just pray real quick here. Let's ask the Lord to meet us. Lord. Yes, Ricky. At the Varsity Theater, buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to be here. We're here now, so you can always find us here, Ricky. I really love that, man.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah, April, right here.
Right here. That's it, my friend. Thank you, Ricky. Appreciate it. I like that Panthers hat, man. The Carolina shirt even better. There you go. All right, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for how you have already meeting us in this space, Lord Jesus. And I just pray for everyone here, whatever we are carrying with us, our heavy hearts, the things that fill our minds, the things that keep weight on us, Father, Lord Jesus, you know those things. And I pray this morning as we continue to worship you and to look at how much you love us, Father, that you just meet us in a special way today, God. And I know that sometimes always doesn't mean that there's like this instant miraculous relief. But sometimes that miracle comes in just knowing you are present with us. You love us deeply, and we're not alone. God, I just pray right now that we feel that today. We know that. And we go from here in that space, Lord Jesus, knowing you're always with us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, y'all. Hey, so we are, as you can tell, we are starting a new series, and it's called On the Road Again, but not by mistake. We are actually going over the next 5 weeks in this series called On the Road Again that is going to cover one single chapter in all of Scripture. It's going to be the last chapter of the book of Luke, and it's Luke 24. And Luke 24 picks up right after the resurrection. Actually, the beginning of Luke 24 is the resurrection, but we're going to be picking up right where it leaves off. And so this is going to be stories of people experiencing the risen Jesus. These are followers of his that are in deep, dark spaces in despair. And what we're going to see is this real human experience when people encounter the risen Jesus in the midst of their confusion and their fear, but also the realization of his presence with them. And we're going to have these two different stories. The first story is going to be three parts, where we have two people that are two followers of Jesus that are literally running from everything they had experienced. They were going away from Jesus. And we're going to see where Jesus meets them and walks within that path and doesn't just walk with them, but he helps them to find their way again on the road. And then the last two Sundays of this series, I'm thankful for my friends Caroline Carpenter and Valerie Bergar are going to lead us in another story of followers of Jesus who are in deep despair, but they're hiding, and where Jesus meets them where they are, and then he loves them, and then he sends them back on the road again. See, it's not just a Billy Nelson song. But I hope by the end of this series that we all experience not just know, but experience what it means for Jesus to walk alongside us in our hard times, that he is always present. And then he sends us on the road, but he doesn't send us alone, that his presence is constant with us. And so this series is not about leaving no one behind, but it's about Jesus being always present, even when we're going forward, backwards, sideways, wherever we are, that Jesus is always present. But this morning, I'd like to do something a little different, if it's okay with you. A lot of times, you know, you're used to a sermon where somebody's speaking and they're teaching, and I'd love to actually kind of slow this down a little this morning, do something a little different. I'm actually, I'm going to have a seat with you. And I'd love for you to just imagine while we're here, if you don't have a drink, I have some water, but I'm going to imagine this is my chocolate coffee. But love to imagine that we are sitting together at a coffee shop, just you and I, just for a little bit. We're going to sit and have a chat. We're going to read some scripture, but we're going to talk about it through it. And then at the time when I'm done talking, just like any conversation at a coffee table, there's going to be an opportunity for you to speak too. And we're going to have a moment where whatever you're carrying, those hard things, maybe the big things, maybe things that don't necessarily directly affect you as the world, or things that are directly affecting you, these things that we're carrying in our heart that we need to see Jesus in, we're going to have a moment where we're going to just allow prayer. And I'm going to have my pastor friends, Justin and Christy, help me in that. And I understand that not always it's comfortable, like I'm going to step up front, and I understand that. So in the sense of we're in a coffee shop, we'll come to you. And so I just want to plant that in your heart. So if there's something that you're burning in your heart you want prayer for, we'll come to you. There'll be a moment I'll ask you to raise your hand. And so don't want you to feel stress about that. But it's an invitation. And at the same time, my friend Zach, we're going to come up here and he's going to lead us in a heartfelt way of loving Jesus. And so if you don't want prayer, then you can praise him and love him in that way. But just want to plant that seed as we step into this little part today here today. Okay? Sound good? You got your coffee ready? Imagine what you got, right? What is it? What's your thing at the shop, man? So good. So let's talk about this story. Luke 24. We're picking up kind of in the middle. And we're going to be in verse 13 through 24 today. And I believe that this part of his story, of this story, is maybe the most relatable story in all of the Gospels for someone who follows Jesus. I really believe that. It's both wonderful and unique, even spellbinding, in the way that it relates to what it means to walk a day-to-day life and following Jesus in a world that's not so wonderful most of the time. And this is going to be a story of the failure of human hopes. It's going to be a story of when it means to feel unsure who's going to help next. It's going to be a story of doubts and questions. It's also going to be a story of belief and faith. But mostly, it's a story of the presence of Jesus in the midst of all our pain and all our hardships and all our joys and all of our life. And so our story here picks up, as I mentioned earlier, right after the resurrection. Verse 12 is literally when the remaining 11 disciples are finding out that the tomb was empty. They had already had, the women had gone to the tomb and found it empty, and they told others, and the story of Peter and John coming to check it out, and they're saying, he's risen. So then it's like in verse 13, we transport to the story where these two other followers are taking a trip. In a little context here, you know, we most famously know the 12 disciples. But it wasn't, that was Jesus' closest confidants, okay? He even has three that he even spent more time with. But there was, it was known that there was multiple followers following Jesus along the way. Somewhere in that different three-year period of his ministry, there was people who followed him and was a part of his ministry. So we're finding a couple of those folks here that really believe that they're followers of Jesus. Now, they have witnessed and experienced everything that had happened in Jerusalem during that week. And what do we know? Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey. And they praise him and they wave the palms and they're saying, "Hosanna, come save us. The king is here." And as that week goes, they likely maybe even experienced Jesus flipping tables in the temple courtyards. But most assuredly, they experienced when the crowds turned on him and called for his death. And they really experienced what that death looked like on that cross. And now we pick them up here. And it says in verse 13, "Now on the same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus." It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other and about everything that had happened. That's a little context here. This is not plain, but it's probably safe to assume that they are on their way home. Whenever there was a Jewish festival, especially Passover, it was encouraged, and many Jews who where it didn't live in Jerusalem, would take a pilgrimage to the city to partake in the festival, to partake, as Justin mentioned earlier, in this way of remembering. And this was the Passover. And so likely there was known that several people were, you know, there was hundreds and thousands of people that normally wouldn't have been in Jerusalem there that week. And so they're probably going home. But think about this. It says they're talking about what happened, and we're going to read more and see that they really did experience the cross. On the backside of that, what are they doing? They're walking away. They're walking away from where Jesus is. They've heard about the resurrection already, and they're not staying. They're walking away. And so where are they going? Why are they going there? Why didn't they stay and see? About to find out. And it says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. Now, imagine you're on the road and you're walking and you've been talking about everything you experienced, maybe even the horrific side of things that they had seen. And all of a sudden, this person starts walking up beside you. And they're taking every step along the way with you. And so we know this is Jesus. I think it's important to notice here, does Jesus come and grab them by the collar like, "Hey, you're my followers, and you're not following me, you're walking away. I was in Jerusalem." No, he's taking every step along the way with them, going in the wrong direction. Isn't that kind of the way Jesus works? He comes alongside us. He walks with us. In whatever we are experiencing, whatever we are doing, he doesn't leave us, even if we're going the wrong way. We're going to get some more going here. But it says, they were kept from recognizing him. This is an interesting passage here. In the book of Mark, in this depiction of the story, actually describes Jesus as even looking different, in some way like a different form. Here, in Luke, it kind of describes as they were withheld, maybe divinely withheld of knowing who he is. And so whether Jesus, and this is not just a single account, this happened in multiple accounts after the risen Jesus where people didn't quite know who he was at first. And then there's some sort of a revealing. And we'll in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about the revealing. But in this moment, they don't know who he is. It's just this man walking away with them, walking to Emmaus. And so we see Jesus walking with them, but they can't see him. They don't know it's him. I think we'll find out they didn't need to, at least not at first. Because then Jesus asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? I mean, we know Jesus knows. It's not a secret. And But I think there's some intention here. This is not just some sort of like sarcastic comment by Jesus. This is, he wants to hear in their own words what the pain that they feel. He wants to hear in their own words what they experienced. He wanted their own version of the pain. Not coming alongside and telling them what they're supposed to think or preaching at them. Let me hear. What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? What happened? Tell me. Tell me in your own words. And here's how they respond. It says they stood still and their face was downcast. I mean, I can just imagine the amazing traumatic things that they experienced. And somebody says, "What was that?" And probably they stopped walking for a moment, and their head goes down, and their just face is long as their hearts and their minds just start to reconnect to what they had seen and experienced. Again, Jesus is asking for their genuine feelings, their genuine grief and their pain. They were hurt. They were distraught. This is Jesus drawing that out of them as he walks alongside them. Why is he walking? Why is he with them? And then they go to tell him, and one of them is named Cleopas. And Cleopas asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" He's like, "Dude, where you been?" You imagine the skepticism? Like, hey, this guy's coming from the same direction as us, going the same way. He had to know anything, because Scripture tells us that at the point of Jesus' death, the earth shook and the sky went dark. Stories of the veil in the temple ripped in two. How could you not know? How could you not know when the streets were filled with people mocking and cheering his death? This blood-written man carries a cross. How do you not know? This is what they were experiencing. This was their pain. And then Jesus says, "What things?" He's not being mocking. He's like, "Tell me. Tell me in your own words. Who is this Jesus? Who is this person? What did you experience?" And then they say, "It's about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and the people." He's saying that we love this guy. He was amazing. He captured everybody's attention. He was special. But then they say the chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. Remember, they were followers. And then they crucified him. They experienced his death. Then it says, and this is important, "But we had hoped." We had hoped that he was the one. He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Here's what that means for them. In the context of their time, it had been told for hundreds of years by the prophets that there would be one that would come, a king, a Messiah that would come and bring peace to the land. And along the way, there were some assumptions made that this king, this Messiah, would come ruling in sword and conquering and would step in and redeem Israel from their occupiers of Rome. And even before that was other groups of people that were occupying them. This was the belief. And so if we go to the first part where they're explaining, they're saying, "He came with word and deed. He was amazing. We had thought he was the one." But he came short of one of their expectations as he crawled on a cross and died. This is them being honest and real. They had expectations. They knew him. They followed him. They had seen what he had, they had heard what he said, they had seen what he had did, they had believed. But now, they're in complete disappointment. They're crushed. They don't feel too good. Jesus didn't meet their expectations. And now where are they going? They're leaving him. They're moving on, going the wrong way. But where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in that? And then they say, as what more, it is the third day since all this took place, saying, this is the exact day of the resurrection. This is the third day. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They had went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen the vision of angels who had said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see Jesus. If they had heard this, why are they going the wrong way? Where are they going home? How about you? That sounds to me like a lot of doubt and a lack of understanding. And what does all this mean? Why are we highlighting this? Because I want to ask the question, where was Jesus in their doubt, in their questions, in their pain, in their grief? Where was Jesus? He's walking right beside them, step by step, not alone, even though they couldn't see him. He was there. And see, these followers, these disciples, believers in Jesus, they were still followers with that still had deep questions, real questions. They were followers who still struggled with belief. They were followers who didn't always see Jesus. They were followers who needed reassurance from Jesus. They were followers in grief and pain. They were followers who were confused. Honestly, they're people just like you and me. How many times do we have doubt? We don't want to talk about it. Or we have questions that we don't understand. How many times do we feel broken? How many times do we feel frustrated? How many times do we look at this world and saying, I don't know where you are, God. I don't see you. How many times are we unsure? But where? What does Jesus do? Jesus enters, he comes to them in their retreat. He doesn't just meet them in the middle of our pain. He meets them where they are. And he listens to our story. He invites us to speak our truth and the things of how we feel. Even though he already knows, he lets us be us and tell us how we feel. And he shares with us in our pace. He's not rushing. He's not pulling and tugging. He shares in our pace, and he chooses to walk through the confusion with us, step by step. And we'll talk a little more about this next week, but then he guides them in with his presence. He isn't a spectator or a critic. He is present and an active guide. And he cares for us even when he's hidden. Jesus is fully present and caring even when we can't see him, walking step by step. What about you? Do you ever feel you can't see Jesus? You're unsure. Do you ever have questions of, was this even real? I want to believe. There's a lot of really great things about him, but I'm not sure. Do you ever feel there's so much pain and grief that you're experiencing that you just don't know where to turn and you just really wish that Jesus would just make it all better? I know I do. I do it to the point where I walked away for a very, very long time. I know some of you have heard my story, but I grew up knowing Jesus. But long story short, at one point, I decided I didn't want to. And I completely walked away. I was going to Emmaus. taking step by step, walking away, doing my own thing, living my own life, cursing his name, not believing in him. And then one amazing day when I was at my lowest, I prayed a very real prayer. And I believed again. But here, you know what? That's amazing, but you know what was more amazing? When I would read stories like this, when I would hear Jesus say in the scripture, saying, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you till the end of the age. I'm sending my Holy Spirit to be with you and to fill you. Then I'm like, I used to hear people say when I tell my story, they're like, yeah, Joel was this guy far from God, and then he found God. And I was like, no, 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 no. The realization I was never far at all. He was there, walking with me, walking away, every step. He was with me when I cursed his name. He was with me when I doubted his existence. He was also with me when I was at the bedside of my friend who was dying, and he asked me, he said, you used to believe in Jesus. Can you pray with me? And I was like, I don't believe him anymore. He was with me there. He was with me when I didn't want to live anymore. He was with me in my pain and my grief. He was with me. You know what that means? He loved me anyways. He loves you anyways. And he listens to our pain. He knows who we are. He's patient. He's kind. He's present. He let me be myself. He let you be yourself. But this is the revelation that he was with me every step of the way. And I believe right now, he's walking right alongside you too. I don't know what you're bringing in today. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know. But he does. And as we see here, he wants to hear it in your words. He's patient and he's kind. And if you feel like you're walking away, or sometimes you're not sure if you want to take a step at all, he's standing right there with you. Even if you can't see him, he's with you. He's with you when your marriage is struggling. He's with you when the job is overwhelming. He's with you when you don't know if you can make rent. He's with you if you don't even know if you're going to have food that day. He's with you when you turn on the news and you see nations being crumbled and you're like, where are you, God? He's with you in this place that we live now where everybody's divided on everything and everything under the sun. And we feel like we've lost friends and family. He's with you. He's with them too. He's walking step by step. He's walking with us in your grief, that loved one you lost, that child, that grandmother, that parent, that friend. He's with you. He's with you in all of it. And so this morning, it's your turn to talk. I'd love to invite my friends Christy and Justin to be ready. They're inside, but don't leave this moment without taking an opportunity to share what you're experiencing. And we want to pray with you in that. And even if you're struggling with understanding this concept that Jesus is with us, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit coming up in some series here soon. We're going to talk very in depth about that. But even in that sense of just belief, and you are a follower and you're like, I just don't know sometimes, that's it. We see that's okay. Because he's still walking with us and he still will bring you back around. But I just want to offer this moment, and if everybody wanted to have their heads bowed, Zach's going to come. He's going to lead us in a time of song. But during that time, if you would like prayer, I'd just love for you just to put your hand. And if it's just something that you're burning in your heart, it's okay. We'll come to you. We'll pray with you. But Jesus wants to hear. He wants to hear how you feel. And we want to pray with you this morning. And so we're just going to take that moment, just open that door for you. If you want prayer, We'll come to you. Let's pray.